What's up, little psychos? I'm Investigator Slater, host of the Psychopedia podcast. Psychopedia is a true crime podcast delivering raw, real, and absolutely gripping episodes every single week. I dig deep to uncover fascinating details of heinous true crime cases while exploring criminology and psychology theories. I take you into the absolute darkest corners of the human psyche, my favorite territory, and present cases like you've never heard them before. Follow and listen to Psychopedia everywhere you get your podcasts.
Pretty exciting stuff. I know a lot of the fans are turning out, a sellout crowd. It's going to be a great day for baseball here in San Diego.
I got to ask you, Kelly and I last night are watching the Channel 8 News, and they had a nice feature. I take it they filmed it at your home.
Yes, they did.
Why the heck did you have a right-handed glove on rather than a left-handed glove?
Yeah, you know, the glove actually I was showing him was one of the old signature. It's a kid's glove that the Rawlings did in 1977 and 78. And that's the only one I could find. I never got one back in the 70s. So I found that glove on eBay. And I just wanted to keep one just because it was a signature Randy Jones glove. And it's the only thing they had is right-handed gloves, so I bought it.
Last time I saw a glove like that, I think it was Lou Boudreau.
It was great, though. And well observed by you. It was a right-handed glove, by the way.
Hey, what time did you get down here today?
7:30. I've been here, you know.
A little bit late for you.
Yeah, that was good. I'm getting the elder statesman. They're letting somebody else do those early hours. I like that.
Randy, you've obviously been a part of Padre baseball since the early 70s. Okay? Mm-hmm. You missed the first couple of years because you were still pitching up there at Chapman College.
Right.
But other than maybe the 96 and 98 teams that people were expecting things out of, and I know they won division titles in 05 and 06, but those teams weren't loaded. Can you ever remember this much enthusiasm for the Padres getting a season cranked up with all these young position players?
Yeah, I think the enthusiasm is actually earned. It's legit. I'm excited to see it because it's probably the best ball club I've seen since 98 for sure here. It's the best collection of, you know, athletes and ball players in the franchise I've ever seen. The minor leagues, I wasn't disappointed anywhere I went in spring training for 2.5 weeks in what I saw. There's plenty of talent coming up. Going to be a lot of healthy competition in this organization for a long time. And finally, Coach, I think we're to a point where even if we lose a couple of key players down, you know, for a couple of weeks on the DL, we've got enough talent now to back that up. We got somebody to fill that void that can actually compete. Not like in the old days when we didn't have too much. We had the number one guy and no number two. Now we have a little bit of depth, and I think Andy Green has a lot more versatility than anybody ever has before.
You know what's amazing is the Padres spent $300 million on their third baseman. They give him a 10-year contract. And all people are talking, walking around here today, there are a lot of Machado jerseys, okay?
Uh-huh.
But everybody's talking about Tatis Jr. It's like, man, he's been put on the back burner by the Padre fans today because they want to see this young kid play.
Yeah, and I don't blame him. I mean, exciting young man, and he earned that. And you talk about the business side of baseball, they're going to let him wait till May so the meter doesn't start running. But, hey, if you're committed to winning, I mean, I think that exemplifies it. You can't ignore what Tatis did, especially the last 2 weeks of spring training. He came into his own. He's electric. He's solid at shortstop. And hey, you might as well put him with that guy. He's got a third base for 10 years, and it might be a combo that we see for a long, long time right here in San Diego.
Randy Jones down here at the big block party on J Street, joining us on our SDCCU hotline. Randy, let's get to the pitching because we can talk about Machado, Tatis, Hosmer, what this guy can do, what that guy can do. But it all comes down to that guy on the bump out there, 60 feet, 6 inches from home plate.
Well, I'll tell you what. I mean, some a lot of talented young men, you know, I saw in spring training. You know, now the bell rings. Now we really find out. I find out about Paddock probably first next week with the Diamondbacks. Probably who you're going to see, probably Markievicz on Saturday. In my opinion,
they announced it.
Oh, they already did.
Yeah,
okay.
You can let the
I was going out on a limb there, but yeah, Markievicz is going to pitch on Saturday, which I'm excited about. That young man knows how to pitch, and what I saw from Lauer and Lucchesi as they prepared for the season is, you know, working on things they were a little bit weak on last year. I thought they both did an excellent job working on their weaknesses and trying to get better, and I think they both showed that. A little bit better command of the strike zone, which I think they know they need to do, stay out of the middle of the plate in that big hit. And the one advantage I think a lot of these, I hope these pitchers sense, is we do have a lineup that has the ability to score quite a few runs. So I don't think you're ever going to be really out of a ball game, you know, to a degree. So, you know, even if you give a couple early runs, it's not like it was the last few years where, boy, you get two runs down, you're in trouble early. That's not a point here. We can still score runs. You got to stay and just, you know, make sure you keep the Potteries in the ballgame, give them a chance to win.
You know, I brought this up to Bob Chandler earlier, and I had to get Bob on the
show. I love it.
Had to get Bob on the show. You and I love Bob Chandler. We had to look at the pitching staff and all these guys right now, including Strom, who's going to be throwing Monday night. All these guys are probably going to be on some type of pitch limitation this year.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of them will be. I mean, they're that young. And
who won't be? Yeah. I guess it'd be the better question.
Well, but also, I think it's the nature of the game that we have, Coach, about going deep in the game. And pitch count will dictate if they see the seventh inning, in my opinion. That's what it's going to be about. And I kind of understand these young arms. I think you need to do that. Like a Paddock coming off the surgery and throwing the ball as good as you can and healthy, but you want to keep him healthy. And so overall, you might be looking at five or six innings, but that's what we see. That's a tendency the bullpen takes over into the sixth inning. We see it all the time. So I don't think that's going to change any, but I would hope a couple of these young kids can step up, though, and get this ball club every once in a while in the seventh, eighth inning and give that bullpen that needed, you know, day off that they need.
Yeah, I want to go back to Tatis Jr. here for a minute. You were over in spring training. I saw you sitting there with Andy and Darren and the whole gang. You look good in your uniform.
Oh, I loved it, man. Yeah, always loved doing that.
I'm glad you're back over there in that uniform the last several years. But give me your thoughts on Tatis. What you like about him and why this guy's got a chance to be one of the best in the business.
Well, number one, overall, we know the talent, just the physical talent's there. Play this game. He's got that sixth sense. You know, a lot of things. He just knows where to be, what to do in situations. I do agree he's kind of a tendency maybe to be over-aggressive, might get caught in a couple of times doing that as a young kid. That's fine. I mean, I'd rather have him that way. But what I like day in and day out is attitude and work ethic. Where he is mentally, he's in a really good spot. A lot of confidence in himself and his abilities. And he knows how to make adjustments, Coach. I think he's struggling a little bit. He knows how to make adjustments, and it'll work until he fixes it. And that's what I've noticed about him, a hard worker. And he wants to be the best he can be, and that's what you want out of a number one guy like that.
Rod Barajas takes over after managing the minor leagues and having really, really good success with a lot of these guys down in AAA over the last 3 years. Your thoughts on Rod Barajas and how he can really help this ball club?
I really think he's been invaluable. He knows all these kids. He's come up with them, known them for years, a lot of these guys, and that makes a big, big difference when he communicates with them. And also his insight to some of these players knows them a little bit better than the skipper does. And so he can really have a lot of input with Andy Green, you know, in different situations. And I think that's really advantageous. And he goes in to talk to him, you know, it's not so much a negative. There's a rapport there already. And I already saw that in spring training. That's a real strength, I think, of Barajas. And, you know, good positive guy, a lot of energy. I enjoyed him. He's a good guy.
Hey, I'm going to let you get out of here on this one. Eric Hosmer, who you and I both like a lot, and I think he's a great guy. Last year, probably, you know, was trying to satisfy everybody on the field, off the field, doing a lot of the stuff that a high-priced ball player is asked to do by a ball club. I think he settles in and has a really nice year. He's a good-looking player.
He's a good-looking player, and he's in a good spot right now with the other guys, you know, that can shine. I don't care if it's Reyes and, you know, Hosmer, Machado, all these guys. They swing the bat a little bit, and he's going to fit right in, but he's not the number one in the lineup. And Coach, I don't know who you're going to pitch around to get to the next guy. That's not going to be easy this year.
Kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Franmil Reyes is going to draw the start rather than Hunter Renfroe.
Yeah, interesting. But, you know, hey, you can't lose either way, in my opinion.
No, both those guys should be able to play. I mean, the problem is the Padres actually have enough talent now where guys are probably grousing a little bit that they're not in the lineup.
Isn't that too bad, huh? We've been waiting for this a long time.
Think about all the nights you and I sat in this press box since it opened in 2004. And you and I are talking about how they got to build the minor leagues. They got to do this. They got to do that. They've done it.
Yes, they've done
it. And then they went out and got a $300 million ball player to boot.
They have absolutely done it. Some of the young arms that I saw was spectacular down in the minor leagues. Unreal, some of the arms that I saw, Coach. And not just one or two. I mean, I saw a dozen or 15 kids that know how to throw the baseball.
Randy, how many opening day starts do you make?
I think I made four or five. I don't remember exactly. You know, I had one with the Mets, too. You know, pretty good. I mean, actually, no decision, one, five, one, three, lost one. Yeah, Cincinnati beat me in 77.
They didn't beat you too often, did they?
Not too often, but that day I gave up a... Well, not that you remember, I gave up a base hit to Doug Flynn, of all things, up the middle for an RBI loss.
Second baseman.
I kicked me off 3-2. I'll never forget that. I should have caught that ball.
Okay, now you and Rupert Jones were over here signing autographs. I saw Rupert over there. It looked like he was going to go on the injured list there for a minute.
Yeah, he was trying to sit in an invisible chair, Coach, or something. I'm not sure what he was doing.
Hey, tell us a little bit about Rupert Jones, because you did play with him here in San Diego, didn't you?
I played a little bit with Rupert. Just a good athlete all around.
Made an all-star team.
He could play a little bit. Left-handed
made
hitter.
Made all-star teams, but made one of them while he was playing for the Padres.
Yes, and, had some good years. Swing to bat, clutch hitter. Once again, one of those guys with the right attitude, a good work ethic. He came to the ballpark to play, and day in and day out, that's exactly what Rupert Jones did.
That's great. Now, what's on the agenda? You're going to sign autographs, or are you going to go and come watch the ball game today?
Well, yeah, I got to sign a few autographs here, sneak back into the ballpark, do a little pregame radio with Mr. Ello, and throw out the first pitch with Trevor Hoffman.
Oh, really?
And then once we get done that, we're honoring the 50 years of baseball here. So Trevor and I are going to throw out the first pitch, and then I'm going to go up and enjoy a big league ball game, Coach.
50 years of Padre baseball. How good is that?
Yeah, and we were hanging around the whole time, too, Coach. How about that?
That's pretty amazing. Yeah. No doubt about it. Well, I'll let you get back over there to sign off.
Thanks, Coach. Look forward to seeing you again, buddy.
Likewise. Randy Jones joining us right here at the big block party.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong, because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled-up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.